We are coming into the Christmas season now. We have the Christmas songs out. On the radio, they may have been showing up for a little while now. We're starting to sing them here at worship again. It's good to be celebrating this time together. You know, it's the, according to the song at least, the most wonderful time of the year, the happiest season of all. It's a great time of rejoicing, at least according to the songs. It'll be a great time of fun for everyone. The songs do tend to gloss over how much work it can be, how much you have to prepare for Christmas, and how much you have to do to enjoy all those things. There's marshmallows for roasting. Well, you should have told me that plan when I was at the store. We don't have marshmallows. Maybe we could make do with an olive or something. I'm sorry, that's just how it's going to be this year. That if you want to have plenty of time for mistletoeing, well, you need to find a mistletoe guy. I don't know where they sell that. You're going to have to track that down on your own. You go through the days of Christmas, you know, the partridge in the pear tree and all that. Well, you better need a bird source real quick. And let me tell you, you don't want to be stuck reserving some lords who can barely hop. If you want lords a-leaping, I recommend you reserve some really young lords. That's what I do. That's how Christmas turns out good at my house. If you want these things to work out, well, you need to plan for them. You need to do the work. You need to put the time in. You want to make a gingerbread house? Well, I recommend do it the way I do it. Find someone who's already put together all the parts of a gingerbread house, and then you can buy them in a little kit. Just put a little bit of frosting on and the house is done. If you had to ask me to make my own gingerbread, I'd say, I'm sorry, there's no gingerbread house this time. It's going to be a graham cracker house. That's the best I can do. You want me to make the frosting? Well, maybe with a little bit of Googling I can figure it out. But I recommend you don't eat it afterwards. It's a great time of year and it's great to get together, but it can be a lot of work. And a lot of times it's mixed up in some difficult situations. Even just getting the whole family together, well, that's a lot of scheduling, and then it's figuring out how to avoid any conflicts that might come up. And even then, it might not work out. As we celebrate Christmas, we remember that it is a great time, especially for those who believe in the work of Jesus. We celebrate the start of Jesus' ministry on earth, that God sent his son and he came to earth and was born as a baby. And most importantly, that's not the end of the story. We don't just celebrate a little baby Jesus, but Jesus who grows up and who works the work of salvation. As we come to Christmas, we are going to focus on some of those difficult situations. As much as we look at the nativity scenes and the stories of Christmas and see the joy there, they all are born out of difficult times. This Christmas, we want to focus on experiencing incredible blessing through God-pleasing responses to difficult situations. That's what we're looking at today and for the next few weeks. We're going to start in the Gospel according to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1. We'll be reading starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the way you are at work among us. And we ask that you would stir us up today. That we would know you more and love you more. That in this story we would see more of who you are and be prepared to celebrate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have the start of the story of Jesus and his ministry. If you've gone through the different Gospels, you know that they each start in a little bit different way. That Mark and John don't start with the baby part. They jump in a little farther into the story. Matthew and Luke, they have a little different section of what is happening with Jesus. A little bits here and there of what happens at his birth. Matthew, although we read starting in verse 18, he starts with something else. He starts with those parts of scripture that we often skim through, doesn't he? He starts with the genealogy. Normally, when you start a book, you want to catch people's attention right away. And for a modern reader, the genealogy maybe doesn't quite do that. But for those that Matthew was writing to understand the life of Jesus, he starts in on where does this man come from? He starts it this way, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Pointing to these great figures in the history of Israel, David and Abraham, and saying that Jesus, this man, comes from them. As he makes the case through the rest of the gospel that Jesus is the Messiah, he starts with where he comes from. And so he lays out those names from Abraham to David. From David the king until the time of the deportation. And from the time when they went to Babylon until Jesus. He ends his genealogy with this: Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. If you actually do the math and count the names, you'll notice that his next statement is a little bit generous. In the 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to deportation, 14 from there to Christ. It counts selectively in his list, but then also making sure you count people either once or twice if they break up the section to make the numbers work out. But to emphasize in all of this, Abraham and David and Jesus. But there is that issue, isn't there? Jacob, the father of Joseph, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. That little sentence is doing a lot of work. Not really the son of Joseph. And so we look at how that happened. Verse 18, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. If you ask a woman who's had children how their birth takes place, this is not perhaps how their story will start. It won't start way back when they find out that they're expecting. It'll probably be a lot closer to the hospital room, or at least the hours before that. We were about to go to bed, and then the contraction started. And I told my husband, we got to go right now. And he said, come on, the doctor said an hour of contractions, 5 minutes apart, and then maybe we go in. And I said, no, we're going now. And so we went now. Here, it doesn't take place that way. It takes place starting with a difficult situation, a difficult time. Not jumping straight into the joy of it, but the difficulty. His mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph. And before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. This is a difficult situation for Mary and for Joseph. We know from Luke's account that Mary had encountered her own angelic visitor. But then after that, she had left for a few months, gone to visit Elizabeth. Now, although we don't get quite the details here, I think it's very possible Mary has come back to town. She's had her 3-month vacation, and now she's back, and, oh yeah, she's expecting. Well, about that. Joseph finds out. Perhaps Mary has spoken to him and said, look, the angel came to me and all this has been explained, and he hasn't quite bought into that story. Perhaps he just noticed her belly's looking a little different. The tunic's not fitting the way it used to. And he drew his own conclusions. This is not an easy start to a marriage. What do you do? In a difficult situation like this, a relationship that is ready to break before it's really starting. And what does it say about Joseph? Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. It's easy, as we read this, to think those two things must go together. Because he is a just man, he's not willing to put her to shame, but I think those are actually in tension. He's a righteous man, a just man. He knows what you're supposed to do. He knows what the law says. He knows what the response should be for an unfaithful woman. And at the same time, this is someone he really loves. He can't put her to shame. And so he comes up with this plan. Well, we're going to have to call this off. But we can do it quietly. It's a difficult time. Joseph has a great benefit in this. In all of our difficult situations, we are called as people following Jesus to give a God-pleasing response. Joseph gets a heads up on what that response is in this time. He's come up with, I think, a pretty nice plan himself, but in this case, it's not God's plan. The angel appears to him in a dream. It doesn't actually say that Joseph is going to sleep here. It's saying that as he's considering these things, the angel appears in a dream. That paints a picture, doesn't it? You've probably had those late nights yourself. You can't fall asleep because something's on your mind. You think, I'm not sure I'll sleep at all tonight. Not with what I just found out. Not with what's going on. And in the middle of it, Joseph falls asleep and he dreams. The angel appears to him. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That's really the heart of it, isn't it? It's one thing to know that your spouse or your fiancé has been unfaithful, but there's all those unknowns. What does this really mean for the future? What happens now? Do not be afraid. Do not fear to take her as your wife. And he gets the explanation. It is God who is at work. As a side note here, you see the naming of Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus comes from the word for salvation. And this takes place to fulfill what it says. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Here it is salvation because God is with us. All of this is set up and told to Joseph, giving him that extra prompting to do the right thing. Do what God has said to do. I don't always get as direct of messages. In fact, never have I in my consideration fallen asleep and had the angel of God show up and tell me, hey, don't worry, I have it all worked out, here's your next steps and also the few after that. I'm often left to struggle a little bit more with it. Joseph does what is right. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. I have a small question about that part because I don't remember that being in what the angel said. Perhaps they just left that out or Joseph added that in. Either way, I'm sure it made their honeymoon and first few months of marriage a lot different than maybe he was thinking they would be. It was a difficult time. Wondering how God will be at work, what will be happening. Joseph is committed to doing things right, even if it is even more difficult. In the midst of this, we get to this line in verse 25. She gave birth, and he called his name Jesus. This was a terribly difficult situation. Joseph responded the way God directed him to, and because of that, he received an incredible blessing. This incredible blessing because Joseph, you may be aware, does not make a lot of appearances in the gospel. He's not hanging out and doing a whole lot. Many believe that Joseph probably passed away before Jesus was fully grown, or at least before he had made it to 30 years. And so he wasn't there for the ministry of Jesus. And yet he is remembered. One of the most remembered people in Scripture. Mary and Joseph and Jesus. This incredible blessing that he's listed in the genealogy. Joseph, the husband of Mary. That he becomes part of the family of the Messiah in his obedience to God. This incredible blessing on him that he is lifted up from that guy from Nazareth to the man who raised Jesus. The great things happen in the midst of difficult situations when we give a God-pleasing response. For some of us, this story is way out there. We haven't been in those types of situations. Every part of it rings as very different, very other. Boy, what a crazy time those people lived in. But there are also many of us who the story hits a little closer for. Oh yeah, I've been there. On either side of it. The one who feels like you're breaking the relationship in half, or the one who feels like you don't know what to do, what the future may hold. You know the difficulty of trying to live a life that pleases God in the midst of relationships that seem like they're falling apart. Looking forward to Christmas, of course, for Mary and Joseph, it was looking forward to Jesus finally arriving. But even today, we look forward to Christmas and not all of our relationships are right. There may be people you're afraid to invite over for Christmas, even family members. Well, you know, if we invite that uncle, then someone else isn't going to come. Or is there a way to give an invitation to someone to come and just eat, and as soon as food is out of their mouth, they gotta go? Because if their mouth is empty, who knows what they're going to say? And that struggle of how do you please God in the midst of it? Because God has called us to act in certain ways, to show love and mercy to those around us, to bless even our enemies. And unfortunately, sometimes even in our family, we can find people who are, at least for a while, seeming like enemies. But there is incredible blessing as well. Incredible blessing, because in blessing those who we struggle with, in blessing people in these difficult situations, God can be at work. These God-pleasing responses, the ability to call people together and say, I know we don't always agree, but after all, it's Christmas. And even if they think, well, yeah, Christmas is a time to spend with family, you can tell them the truth. Christmas is the start of God working mercy through Jesus Christ, forgiving sins, setting all things right. We don't always get along, but at this time, let me speak life to you. Christmas is the start of mercy and love and salvation for us as well. It's not just Joseph who becomes part of the Messiah's family. Through the work of Jesus, we are made a family. And it's not always easy. In fact, the rest of the story of the gospel shows the great difficulty, the great struggle that leads to Jesus being on that cross, his death, and then his resurrection. That joy only comes after the sorrow. But joy has come to us. That we rejoice because through the work of Jesus, we are called children of God. Brothers and sisters with Christ. We too have been made part of this family. In these difficult times, Mary and Joseph sought to do what is pleasing to God. In our difficult times, we are called to do the same thing. To live lives that are honorable and pleasing to God. To enjoy God's incredible blessings. That most incredible blessing of salvation that comes through our faith and not through our actions, through those exact things we do, but the promise of continuing blessing for those who live in the will of God.